fire on the earth. Our Holy Father has said the church is missionary by her very nature. The church exists to evangelize. He's called for a new springtime of evangelization. To help us obtain the tools each of us needs to answer the church's call, this is Fire on the Earth. Here is our host, Peter Herbeck.
Good morning, friends. This is Peter Herbeck, and today I want to continue to look at the teaching of St. Peter from his first letter. This little community in Asia Minor, called Turkey, right? A young community that Peter raised up that was under persecution and trial, being rejected by the broader society. But Peter, a good shepherd with his heart set on the Lord and his heart turned toward those brothers and sisters now that the Lord has brought to him, and he's their shepherd, with compassion and love, with amazing clarity, and obviously by the help of the Holy Spirit, Peter puts his finger on the essentials that these brothers and sisters need to know and to live by in the difficult circumstances that they're in. He wants them to remember with their minds, with their hearts, with their imagination, to not forget what Christ has accomplished for them. This is the source of their strength. This is a strength, and Peter knows it personally. It's the same strength that'll lead Peter literally to crucifixion. And he's able to do it now. The same Peter that on the night which Holy Thursday, we celebrate as Holy Thursday in Gethsemane, when Jesus is there suffering, and that moment when the soldiers come to arrest Jesus, and Peter panics like the other apostles, and first takes a sword, cuts off the ear of one of the servants of the soldiers, and Peter runs off, but he denies even knowing Jesus. Peter's trapped in that vortex of darkness, of what he calls himself the empty futility of this world. The power of sin was at work in Peter, and he understood it, and he understood the slavery that's at the core of that, the reign of sin. Because at the heart, being under the power of sin is being focused on myself and being afraid for myself and my ego and my survival and my advancement and me. That's at the heart of it. That's where sin leads us, and that's a dead end. It leads us away from God, trust in God, but leads us to rely on our own resources. And our own resources, no matter how much power, money, influence we have, are pathetic in the face of the spiritual conflict that we're up against and the forces and the power of sin. We have no power over it apart from God. So Peter knows, and he's saying, friends, remember what I taught you. Remember what Jesus is doing in you. Keep your eyes fixed on him. Lay hold of that, and you can live a life, no matter what the circumstance, filled with joy and purpose, because you know that God's plan is unfolding in you, not by your power, not by any other power, but by God's power alone. And none of the powers of this world can stop that from happening. The only thing that can stop that from happening is you or me deciding to give up, deciding to turn away, deciding to give back into sin and taking on the old man again and resisting the grace that Christ has given to us. I ended the program yesterday looking at verse 23 in chapter 1 of 1 Peter, a little summary there that Peter gives, I think is just beautiful. I'll read it again. He says, through him, that is Jesus, and all that he's accomplished for us, and the new power he's given to us and established us in a new relationship with God the Father. As St. John would say in his gospel, he gave us power to become children of God. He gave us power to become children of God. So Jesus has died to bring us into the family, to make us children of the Father, of a loving Father. And he reveals the Father's love. So Peter reminds us, through Jesus, through him, you have confidence in God. You have the confidence of a secure child who has a loving father or a loving mother and knows that he or she is loved. Jesus has given you that confidence. The God who raised Jesus from the dead and gave him glory. Jesus was raised from the dead and given glory. That's the heart of Christianity. That's the heart of what God did. Jesus took us with him, rising from the dead, actually took us on the cross. He died our death. And then he was raised from the dead and he took us with him. How? In his human flesh. That's why scripture calls him the second Adam. The first Adam, who lived in fellowship with God, was tempted and seduced and turned away and broke that relationship. And his offspring live under the consequences of that decision. All of us are born into a fallen world, and we ourselves are profoundly wounded by sin and separated from God. Jesus is the second Adam. And what did the first Adam do? He sired a race of people. Adam and Eve. Jesus is the second Adam now who through the Spirit sires a new humanity, brings about an entirely new creation, that new thing that God does to deal with fallen human nature, to bring us from death to life like Jesus. So in his flesh, humanity goes with Jesus through the cross, raised from the dead, and not only raised from the dead, but exalted to the right hand of God. That's the goal. That's the end point. That's the final destiny. That's what it means to be saved, to be at the right hand of the Father in Jesus Christ, and to share in the glory that belongs to him. For months, I've been reading these passages, friends, just going over them and praying through them and begging God to give me the grace and give me help, because I really need the help, both to see this on a daily basis, but also help to be able to communicate it, to preach it, and to teach it. Because words like glory that are filled with such important meaning, because they communicate to us the life that Jesus lives and the reality of the brilliance and the brightness and the power and the majesty that belongs to him. Everything that we're destined to receive flows from Jesus. It comes from him. Why? Because he possesses this all as the head of a new race. You see, he's the one who first received it from the Father at his right hand. Humanity, which had fallen from glory, which was destined to be separated from God forever, and we were headed toward darkness in eternal separation and literally to hell. I mean, that's what Jesus taught. That was our destiny. Now, Jesus came and he went through that death. He faced that death. He faced the powers of hell. He broke their power. And what he did was he was raised by the glory of the Father. And as I said, humanity in Jesus now moves back into what? Relationship with God the Father. And not only relationship, but a sharing in what belongs to the Father, which is the Father's renown, his power, his glory, his majesty, his brilliance, everything that belongs to the Father. Now look, Jesus, not only Jesus receives it, but in Jesus, the human race now is locked into its destiny. That's where we're going. And sometimes it just feels so inadequate to be able to communicate what glory means. This is where we need, friends, the help of the Holy Spirit. This is why Jesus poured out his Spirit into our hearts, because the Spirit will give us a glimpse. I remember way back in 1978, I've told this story, I think, a few times over the years. I won't tell the whole thing, but I remember 1978 when I was went to my first, I was 20-year-old, invited to go to a huge conference at the University of Notre Dame, the football stadium, put on by the Catholic Charismatic Renewal. And I was at the time, you know, beginning to start to get serious about my faith, and which is kind of what got me there with the help of friends and family. And on the weekend, I was acutely aware of a number of things. One, that many of the people around me, there were 30-some thousand people there. There were, I remember, I don't know, 200 priests and bishops present. Some amazing worship, some amazing preaching. And I knew that this was a kind of Catholicism that had been awakened at a high level that I'd never experienced before up to that point in my life. I just never saw so much faith. I never saw so much trust in God and really the presence and power of the Spirit at work. I mean, I know it was present in liturgies when I grew up. I know it was present in different ways, but I was asleep to it. I just didn't see it. And you can't see it in places quite like you could see it here. It was so tangible. And I remember praying throughout the weekend because I was also acutely aware that I wasn't there. I didn't have what these folks had. And so I prayed throughout the weekend and listened earnestly to the preaching and the teaching, and I experienced the power of God's word penetrating my heart in a way that I'd never experienced before. And when that happens, when God's word, which is living and active, sharper than any two-edged sword, it separates bone and marrow, and it manifests the intentions of the heart. The word of God goes right to the heart and opens our heart and allows us to see ourselves in relationship to Jesus. We don't know who we are fully until we see Jesus, until we're able to really see ourselves in the light of Christ. He's the one who reveals, as Pope John Paul II said, Jesus is the one that reveals man to himself. Man is completely, in some ways, ignorant of who he is ultimately until he sees Christ. And that reality was beginning to unfold throughout the weekend. Man, I hungered and prayed for it. The more it began to grow in me, the hungrier I got. And I remember praying Saturday night at this conference and Sunday morning and going to the closing mass. And I was begging God, you know, to give me grace to have the kind of faith I saw around me and the love that people had and the trust and surrender and abandonment to Him. Because I pretty much still had the reins in my life. I was in charge. I felt like the more control I had, the better off life would be. And Jesus was coming to help me relinquish that control and to trust Him and to follow Him and to hear His voice. And I remember at Mass on Sunday after going to communion, I was praying so earnestly, just, Lord, grant me that faith and love and help me let go. And as I was praying, a gentleman who I'd never met before was sitting behind me a few rows back. He saw me. He told me he saw me going to communion as he was praying, getting ready for communion. He said that he felt the Lord tell him to come to me and tell me that the faith and love that I seek shall be granted to me because Christ loves me and He's died for me. Well, he said that to me, and as he said it, again, something like that has never happened to me before. Somebody at that point in my life, I never heard, you know, somebody, some stranger coming up with a word from God. And as he said it, all I can tell you is the power of the Holy Spirit touched my life in a life-transforming way. Life-changing way, really. It was a game changer. And I felt the love of God get poured into me. And the reason I'm bringing it up is I believe, and I know what I experienced that day. In fact, I grabbed onto this guy. I felt so much love and power and God's tender presence and His majesty at the same time, just kind of being revealed in my heart. I remember holding on to Him and my eyes were closed and I sensed in my spirit the Lord say, welcome, the kingdom of God is at hand. You're part of a whole new reality, my kingdom, my power, my presence. And then as I was experiencing that, it was almost as if I could just see a glimpse, just a teeny glimpse of, Isaiah says, you know, the train of the robes of His glory, like just the tip of His robe or something. I just experienced such a light, such beautiful, radiant, healing light. It healed me, not of everything in my life, but it healed me of what Jesus wanted to heal me of that day, which was fear and lack of trust and faith and fear of being alienated and just unworthy and all the rest of it that was going on inside me. There was a beautiful, radiant light that was touching my heart. And that's the glory. That's the imperishable seed. That's the life that Jesus was awakening in me that was given to me at baptism that I often didn't see and I didn't understand or didn't pay attention to. It was just a moment of great grace. And so St. Peter tells us in verse 22 here, he goes on and he says, having purified your souls now by your obedience to the truth for a sincere love of the brethren, love one another now earnestly from the heart. You've been born anew, not of a perishable seed, but of an imperishable seed, right? An imperishable seed through the living and abiding Word of God, he says. That's what I experienced. The Word of God awakening something in me. And that's what He wants to do in each one of us. God bless you. Have a great day.
This has been Fire on the Earth. It's heard here Monday through Friday at this time. Our host has been Peter Herbeck, Vice President of Missions at Renewal Ministries. You can contact Peter or listen again to this program on the web at renewalministries.net. Fire on the Earth is brought to you by Ave Maria Radio.
Friends, I'm delighted to be able to offer you my new booklet, The New Evangelization, What's Our Message? At the heart of the new evangelization is a fresh proclamation of the gospel. But for many people, even many Catholics, they wonder, what is the message? What exactly is at the heart of that proclamation? In this simple booklet, The New Evangelization, What's Our Message?, I take a look at and present in a very specific and simple way what is the core of what we're called to proclaim in this great and important missionary moment in the history of the Church. If you'd like a free copy, call 1-800-282-4789. That's 1-800-282-4789.